What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. As you're headed out the door this morning, the Beltway looks good. No accidents or incidents, inner loop or the outer loop. 895 southbound, you're on the brakes from O'Donnell Street through the Harbor Tunnel. Southbound 95 looks good through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's Sports Talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles get back on the diamond today, opening up a three-game series with the Houston Astros. The Birds are hoping to bounce back after a disappointing weekend series against the Red Sox, where they let a club in turmoil outscore them by a combined 18 runs in Saturday and Sunday's losses. The offense has left a lot to be desired thus far, with the team ranked 17th in runs per game and the team OBP at 16th. The fans are starting to grow restless. Here's Gunnar Henderson on what it will take to get more consistency from the bats.
As a team perspective, I just feel like keep stringing good at-bats together. I feel like that's the name of it, is just keep getting on base and obviously give yourself opportunities to score early, and we know the pitchers will have our back.
The Birds will look to get things going this evening against Houston, and The Fan has your pregame coverage for the series opener with Baltimore Baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Tuesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, turning cloudy with a chance for showers, highs around 60. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. The Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
In the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Get your feet on the floor. Jumpstart your day with your boys on this Taco Tuesday. What's going on, Jay?
What's up, man?
Not much, man.
One of those weird days yesterday waiting for baseball games to start, and then it was crap last night. Found myself going to bed early.
Man, I laid down at about 1:32-ish. Woke up at about 6.
Really?
Oh, man, I slept. Got up, made some dinner, put some chicken thighs in the air fryer. I had some leftover broccoli from the day before, so I already had that done. And I sat down and watched DTF St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And the second episode, I started getting sleepy in the last 15 minutes, finished that out, and went back to bed.
Really?
Yep.
You must have needed some sleep.
Oh, my gosh. I must have. I told you, when people ask you, well, how you doing? I said, my body tells me, and when my body tells me, I listen.
I'm at this point now where in the afternoons, if I want to, like, I'll start watching TV, and I'll just start, you know, doing the nodding thing where your eyes are closed, and I'm like, God, why am I this tired? And then if I'm laying down and I eventually say, screw it, I'm just going to take a nap. I don't even set an alarm anymore. I'm going to sleep about 30 to 40 minutes, and I'm going to wake up, and half my face is going to be covered in drool. That's how hard I sleep during the afternoons when I take a nap. And yesterday it happened where my wife was gone. She comes back home, and I had just woken up right as she was walking back. I didn't hear the door or anything. Yeah. I was just kind of happenstance. I look up. She goes, are you okay? And I'm like, hey. Drool coming everywhere. Parts of my beard in different directions. She's like, what the hell happened to me?
Yeah, it was one of those days. And I'm not a nap guy. You know that. I'm not a nap guy. But yesterday, I don't even know. That's not even a nap. That's just getting passed out, man. I was done.
It's tough to get everything back in line, though. Like, my wife does this all the time with working overnights.
You know, sometimes when you sleep that much during the day, you wake up the next day, you feel miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, fully charged today.
Good. And you got baseball tonight?
You got baseball tonight. Get to go back to work tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday afternoon game. Yeah, good week.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's what my body was like. Look, man, you're going to have a dope, busy week. Let's hibernate for a little while.
Maybe, I mean, if you had some downtime, you could make a playlist for one of the managers in the league, or maybe you could put something together for
Alex Cora.
Yeah, oh, very
since
nice.
He's having a rough time right now.
Yeah.
Because evidently...
This is the gift that keeps on giving, unless your name's Diana Rossini or Mike Vrabel. I saw so many funny things yesterday. Diana Rossini made a Spotify playlist. Who has time to look this up? Called Turning the Page, that she shared with a username Mike on December 19th of 2022, which just so happens to coincide with a 4-game Titans losing streak. Who has time to look all this up?
So this is on Diana Rossini, right?
Yes.
So let me ask you this question, Jeremy, and I've been asking this question throughout this entire process. She was wrong. She was.
Mm-hmm.
But why aren't we attaching this to the guy named Mike? Why is Mike Vrabel not getting dragged through the mud for this?
He didn't make the playlist.
Yeah, but he'll probably listen to it.
Dude, and by the way, all the lies
feet up.
And nonsense they told you. Remember how he was going away and he's got to, like, he's going to, what is it?
Therapy.
Is it stuff with the family? Yeah. He was in Utah at a store buying something on his way back to the Patriots today. Like, he was, or this was not today, but you get what I'm saying. When the video came out, somebody had one of the funniest lines.
Therapy was in Utah.
Was it?
Probably so.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm. But how did you get back with the team so quick? You finished therapy already?
Yeah, he had one day.
It's like, oh man, you're better. You just know, don't put that in there if it's not your wife's there. Oh,
see, and I ask you, all right. This is,
by the way, that story of him being picking up a shirt. Somebody said they made it a hoodie, and it said I effed Mike Vrabel, and all I got was this shirt. So that's what he's picking up. Oh, anyway, sorry.
But let me ask you this, honestly. What's the difference with this and guys we know in the industry, sometimes us, who get inside information because we have relationships with people? Now, they're married to someone else. This, to me, seems like a marital issue. Us making it seem like this is a violation of journalism. If that's the case, we all violate journalism.
Well, can
they violated their spouses, and that should be dealt with there. Other than that, If some dude has cigars and bourbon with Mike Vrabel and gets inside information, we're saying he does a good job. But we're making Diana Rossini feel like she's the worst journalist ever. She might be the worst wife ever.
Yeah, it's not like Adam Schefter can't sleep with Mike Vrabel.
He could.
Like, I mean, he could get some.
How does Adam Schefter get his information?
You work on the relationship.
Exactly.
But you don't go to a hotel and at the pool but hugging my, and kissing
my
on him.
My point is, this is a violation of their marriage. But no, this is how inside stories are had all the time because of personal relationships.
It's a bad analogy, but this is like gambling on baseball. You can't fraternize with the players and the coaches and the managers and sleep with these guys and expect if it ends up coming out that nothing's going to happen.
She lost her job. How is this like gambling in baseball when this doesn't determine the outcome?
This is frowned upon.
But does that determine the outcome? Gambling can determine the outcome.
I literally just said this is a bad analogy. Take the comparison of what it is. Okay. It's something that, like, we all look at it. We all know, like, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. This is the first thing. Players know they're not supposed to sleep with the cheerleaders. But this is one step above it because now, like, again, I think he should be getting in way more trouble than her.
I think so. See, to me, Diana Rossini and Mike Vrabel didn't wrong me.
Yeah.
They wronged their spouses. This is akin to Tiger Woods apologizing to the media because he cheated on his wife. Why are you apologizing to us? I didn't marry you. You were wrong.
This is closer to steroids in baseball because some people look the other way when you're getting stuff, and as soon as you get caught, here's what's going on. And then there are women in this industry and men, I'll say the same thing, that don't want to sleep with the coaches to get information.
And I said from the beginning, and I'll say this again, and you're realizing this yourself. You kind of glossed over it a minute ago because we were talking about something else. Ladies, when this goes down, again, I'm not saying I like the rules, but I know the rules. When this goes down, you are going to be the one that gets dragged. He's going to be the one that gets a pat on the back, a notch in his belt. That's how this works. So think about it. So, and I'm not just in this industry, in any industry. Think about it. You will not survive it. He will. They'll understand. Hey, look, man, you know, we all have temptations. She's a good-looking girl. I understand. You will not be greeted the same way.
No.
You'll be greeted with, the hell are you doing? You know better than that.
Well,
why would you do that? So again, ladies, think about it. And I'll say it again. There are things in my life, Jeremy, that I won't do because I know I'll be judged differently than if you did it.
Yeah.
I didn't make those rules. I don't like those rules. But I know the rules.
And look, I don't think, looking at the situation, you're right. There's more that they have to explain to their significant others. I mean, Mike Vrabel's got to go home and deal with that.
Yep.
All the fake reports that were out there. And then now this won't die. And with social media, you don't even really have to research. You click on someone's name, you just start scrolling down. You can go all the way back to whenever and start pulling up old tweets.
Jeremy, you don't have to. I've never clicked on Rossini's name. But when I'm looking on Twitter, she seems to pop up all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not clicking on her name. I don't care. I don't care.
It's weird. Like, I don't even click on girls with big boobs names, and they keep popping up on my Twitter all the time.
Joe, why is that? That's because I send them to you.
Oh. They pop up all the damn time.
Hey, the day is Tuesday.
Yeah.
Joe, Tuesday is not just for tacos.
Yeah, that's when we tell...
on Twitter.
We tell Ken McCusick we'll see him next Tuesday.
That's what I was talking about. It's for film study also. 410-583-1057 is the number. We do the hockey at 7 o'clock with Ed Norris, but on the other side. Hey, Jay, I called Joe yesterday. We keep talking about people reaching for quarterbacks and project quarterbacks. Maybe we ought to pump out brakes and ask ourselves, is this the new norm in the NFL? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
Old McDonald's has an app. Why haven't you downloaded this app yet? You can order like a pro and download the McDonald's app today. The app certainly has its privileges, like ordering your favorites ahead of time, saving money with app-exclusive deals, and you can earn free food. Get your favorites delivered with McDelivery. So what are you waiting for? Download the McDonald's app today. It's deliciousness at your fingertips. So stop wasting time and order from the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. As you're headed out the door this morning, the Beltway looks good. No accidents or incidents, inner loop or the outer loop. 895 southbound, you're on the brakes from O'Donnell Street through the Harbor Tunnel. Southbound 95 looks good through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
A cop, a coach, a con man, and an average Joe. The Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. So I'm looking through the draft, the NFL draft, these quarterbacks. Was there a quarterback selected at all in 2026, Jeremy, that you can say is a slam dunk guy?
No. I can't. Some people think Mendoza is. And
I'm not worried about
why.
Some people. I want to know Jeremy Cohn.
No, I don't think there's a single slam dunk in this group.
So
next year, there's a couple where it's like, hey, yeah, I would definitely want to take a chance on that guy.
Let me take you back to 2022. Let's just go back to that. We probably could go back farther, but let's go back to 2022. Last four drafts before this one. Kenny Pickett, first round draft pick. Come on, man. How many holes did he have in it, in his armor?
Yeah, small hands. Somebody had to hold his whopper for him to eat it.
But they needed a quarterback, so he got drafted in the first round. 2023, Bryce Young, small guy. How many cracks did he have in his armor? He got drafted number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Richardson only started, what, 15 games in college?
Yep.
He got drafted top five. All right, then he go to 2024. Michael Penix Jr. gets drafted in the first round. Come on, man. How many knee surgeries did he have?
After having like eight surgeries, plus he's like, what is he, 25?
J.J. McCarthy goes first round. Bo Nix goes first round. How many schools did Bo Nix play at? Then 2025, Cam Ward was a talent, but in a traditional draft, back when we knew when quarterbacks got drafted one of one, would Cam Ward have been one of one?
Look, I say it all the time. It doesn't mean you're always going to be right. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
You know when a guy, it's like, okay.
Did Cam Ward have it?
I thought Cam Ward was a great passer of the football, but I'm not drafting him number one overall.
You are.
And he may end up being a great quarterback.
You are, because this is the new norm in the NFL. It happens. I'm just giving you first round. We go second and third round, we could really make a game of this thing. And I just think, you know, now we keep asking the question, well, why would he draft him here? Why would he draft him there? I think maybe we just need to wrap our brains around the fact that this is the new norm in the National Football League.
You know, the other thing that happened is that we saw two different situations, one of which, in Green Bay's situation, I feel like Aaron Rodgers fell to them and they went, this is too valuable at this point to not take this guy who a lot of people thought was going to go number one.
Mm-hmm.
So they do that, say goodbye to Brett Favre, and then now here's Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. And the same thing when it happened with Pat Mahomes. You had Alex Smith. You went to the AFC Championship. You were the number two seed in the NFL.
This guy's falls.
And they draft Pat Mahomes, and you're going, well, couldn't you have added something? And then we see the Rams do it. I guess when other teams have success doing it this way.
Copycat league.
We'll see teams do it, but I don't know, man. I have a hard time swallowing that pill because do they really think Ty Simpson is the guy? When you have Matt Stafford at the end of his career, you're not going to add a piece to help him? I think we see this more times than not with teams reaching for quarterbacks, but that's the new norm.
It is. That's the way we've gotten. What has the quarterback position just gotten bad?
Is it oversaturated? Is it overvalued now? Or is it when teams find the special ones, like you think about it. Look at all the great quarterbacks in this league, whether they're taking you to the Super Bowl or getting you to the playoffs every single year.
Is Carson Beck worth a third-round pick?
Yeah, no. No, man. But, and I like Carson Beck at Georgia.
I like him too, but is he worth a third-round pick? This is what I think. I think the quarterback position, and it's tough for me to say this, we start focusing more on athleticism than we did on precision passing. I want a Lamar Jackson. I want a guy that can stand in the pocket and rip you apart, but also can stand in a pocket and decide, you know, this pocket has collapsed and let me go and scramble around and either make a play or run. We've got one or the other now. We've got a lot of guys who are super athletic, Anthony Richardson, but they have not spent time maturing as a passer, in my opinion.
And sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Remember what everybody was saying about C.J. Stroud going two and Bryce Young being one, and now everybody feels the exact opposite of that after watching this last season. I still feel like when it comes down to quarterbacks that there are times that we're looking at these guys going, okay, well, that team got Lamar Jackson. That team got Josh Allen. It matters what year you end up or what draft you end up with a top pick, because we consistently see the same team screw this thing up.
Yeah, you're right.
If you get drafted by the Jets and you are a quarterback, you will not play well in New York. You're going to need to go somewhere else to try to prove it.
Can't we say the same thing about Arizona?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They get up top and it's like, man, this Kyler Murray's special. He's 5'2", like in heels. Like, is this the route you want to take? They took it, and you know what's going to happen. It's like when Maryland was going to hire Mike Leach as their head coach.
Yeah.
And I was going, they were talking about that. I'm saying, man, this is going to be fun to cover. We're going to watch teams that are scoring 40 points a game, 50 points a game, but they're going to be giving up 60. Yeah. They're not going to be good in this conference with this style of play. It never happened. It never came to fruition.
It was clearly a Pac-12 style of play.
But you get what I'm saying. Or even a Big 12.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I look at the quarterback position, and sometimes it's just a matter of what year do you have the top pick, because I think teams try to convince themselves that these guys are worthy of that pick.
But I also think in the years past, recent years, we haven't had a lot of good people to pick from. I mean, you know,
J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings? Yes. How torn everybody was on that.
Absolutely. And now he is horrible.
Yeah, they already know after starting him a handful of games that this is not the guy.
So now they go with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
You know, who wasn't the guy for his past organization. That's what I mean. You got 32 teams in the National Football League. Jeremy, how many franchise quarterbacks do you have?
I mean, true franchise?
True franchise. No bull crap.
Maybe 8 to 10?
Maybe that. Let's go divisions. Buffalo's a franchise quarterback. New England's a franchise quarterback.
It's so early, but I'd put them there.
Ravens, Bengals.
Yep.
Nobody in the South. No. Mahomes. Chargers. Justin Herbert, franchise. In the AFC, NFC East, I think Dak is a franchise quarterback.
Jalen Hurts?
No, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
Okay.
I don't think so. I'm not sure about Washington right now either. You got to show me, you got to bounce back. All right. In the North, do the Lions really have a franchise quarterback? Was it a good situation for him?
I think it's the right player in the right system.
Caleb Williams, you can't call him that yet. I love Jordan Love, but are you going to call him a franchise quarterback? You can't, not yet. The Falcons don't have one. I'm not willing to say Bryce Young is one right now. The Saints don't have one. Baker Mayfield might be a franchise quarterback. So we're at 9 with one division left.
I have a hard time even calling Baker a franchise guy. But again, I get it.
Okay.
I think he's good.
The Rams have one.
Yeah.
Did the 49ers have one?
No.
Did the Seahawks really have one?
No.
So that's 9. That's 8 in a possible, because we're both iffy on Baker Mayfield.
And I would probably put Jalen Hurts in there where you would put Baker Mayfield in.
No, I'm not putting Jalen Hurts in there.
Okay. I like Sprite. Why is his lips always glistening? What do you put on those things?
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So when you have a league, Jeremy, of 32 teams, and regardless of whether or not we want to debate Hurts or Mayfield, we both agree that a third of those teams, only a third of the teams in the league have a franchise quarterback, less than a third.
And
so what in the hell are you going to find in the draft?
And can I say this? I don't need people saying, I'm sure they've already started texting or even calling in going, oh, this guy's a franchise, one of the guys we left off, like Caleb Williams. We think he's going to be,
yeah,
but he's after
not there
two
yet.
Years?
Not there yet. Johnny and Dundalk, what's up, Johnny?
My guys, good morning.
Hey,
I know y'all might laugh at me a little bit about this, but I think the NFL period owes Lamar a lot on this, because nobody was going to pick Lamar. So now teams are like, I feel like I'm gonna shoot my shot on somebody.
Yep.
Just because
he was a project. He definitely was a project.
The Ravens reinvented quarterback when they picked up Lamar. And I think other teams are trying to do the same thing. They're just not being successful.
That might be the line of the day. The Ravens reinvented quarterback when they picked up Lamar. That.
Well, I mean, I'll say,
Jeremy, that might be the line of the day.
Well, there's a lot of people that owe that man an apology. Speaking of Lamar.
A lot of people owe that man some taxes because they're getting paid because of him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about it. Like, even guys like Baker Mayfield, you got to give a tip of the cap to Kyler Murray. You're not getting,
yeah.
And Kyler Murray's got to look back. I said this, and you know how much I don't like the guy. All these short quarterbacks that are getting drafted early, you better go thank Russell Wilson's corny ass. Mm-hmm. Because the fact that he played well at his size, that gave those guys opportunities and the belief that, hey, we can take a shorter quarterback and be fine.
Well, yeah. We'll do the hockey with Ed Norris at 7 o'clock. But in the same theme of reaching, Jeremy, I showed you this morning Kyle Shanahan's reaction to the team's second-round draft pick. It looked a lot like what we saw in L.A. with Sean McVay with the first pick. Did we see a lot more GMs reaching in general in this year's draft? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan. What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan. From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. The Beltway Inner Loop and the Outer Loop look fine. No problems. 895 southbound is slow already from past Eastern Avenue through the Harbor Tunnel. Also 95 southbound, you're on the brakes from O'Donnell Street through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Ravens' newly drafted players, as well as undrafted free agents, will head to the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp, their first taste of life in the NFL. And with the dust now settled on the draft, you start to get the story behind the picks. A video of Baltimore's first-rounder, guard Venga Ione, started to go viral over the weekend as he was seen helping an equipment manager push a cart down the tunnel before a game. Here's GM Eric DaCosta on how much the person behind the player matters to teams.
All that stuff matters in some little small way. Saw that he helps the guy push the thing. Yeah, that was really cool. I think it speaks to his humility and just who he is as a person, how his parents raised him. All that stuff, we look at all that social media. You know, I always tell my kids, be careful because people like me are scouring the internet looking at your social media, you know. So, I think that stuff's really important.
Ravens rookie minicamp begins Friday morning. And tonight at the Yard, the O's get back in action, welcoming the Astros to Baltimore for a three-game set. And the Fan has your pregame coverage for this evening's game with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Tuesday forecast from the Bob Bell, Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, turning cloudy with a chance for showers, highs around 60. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Dubo Law. At Dubo Law, we know that car accidents aren't a game. When you've been injured, call 410-ASK-DUBO for a free consultation. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Joe, the Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
AM. We do the hockey with Ed Norris at 7 o'clock, but right now. So yesterday I'm just looking around the internet. I go to Twitter nowadays for news.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have to go through the nonsense of the regular news. You know what I mean? It's like my condensed, exactly what I'm looking for. When I'm doing the show planning, I go NFL. Look at all the headlines in the NFL, see what I want to dive into. MLB, then I go into particular teams. And I saw this one yesterday, this post with Kyle Shanahan. John Lynch drafted a running back in the third round. Now, many people said that was Kyle Shanahan's reaction to that third-round draft pick. His name is Kalon Black.
Yeah, the kid Black.
Yeah, the kid, because you won't say
the black kid.
Yeah, you won't say that.
No, the kid Black.
The kid Black. And they said Kyle Shanahan reacted to that because Black was not even invited to the combine. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, and he got drafted in the third round. Now, there's some that said that was not his reaction to Black. It was even worse. It was reaction to the second-round pick, wide receiver Deshaun Stribling. Either way, Kyle Shanahan.
See, I like Deshaun Stribling. That, to me, I think he's kind of like, why did I just blank on his name? The wide receiver from the Eagles, Deshaun Jackson.
Deshaun Jackson, okay.
Because he's a big play guy out of Ole Miss, like deep ball threat. But it's funny that you're bringing this up because I saw something to the other side of this talking about John Lynch and how he drafts.
Yeah.
So Warren Sharp, who we've talked about plenty of times, okay. Good.
But my point is, we're seeing examples of coaches who are in the room and their reaction is like, WTF.
Yeah. This is kind of like when they announce best actor and they've got everybody's face there and you see somebody like, son of a bitch, how they picked that? Oh, I'm on camera? Sorry. Yeah, I'm happy for him. Yeah, let me clap a little bit.
What were you saying about Lynch?
So this is Lynch just got asked by a reporter about him overdrafting, like drafting players way too high and not taking the value that's there. And he actually answered it in a nice way. But here's what Warren Sharp said. I evaluated the last 4 years of John Lynch drafts, his performance based off of, you know, numbers, talent, all the things that we see. In 2023, 31st, 2024, 28th, 2025-31, 2026. Now, this is still out there, but from the levels or from what they're using, he has him at 32nd.
That's last.
Last. And again, I don't know how you base that off of 2026, but he went through this whole reach model of reaching for players above to where they're, you know, they're supposed to go. But this has been a big point of contention about John Lynch, that he doesn't know what he's doing in drafting. And honestly, you have one of the best X's and O's coaches in all of football
there. And that's my point. My question is John Lynch's success more Kyle Shanahan than the other way around? Because I'm with you. I think Kyle Shanahan is brilliant. He is one of my favorite coaches in the National Football
League. I think Sean McVay is brilliant, and Kyle Shanahan pulls his pants down and spanks him on live TV every time they play.
So he's brilliant-er.
He's the brilliantest. Kyle Shanahan, like,
he owns McVay.
I hope that guy wins a Super Bowl, because he's been so close so many times. Think back in Atlanta, too.
I hope he wins a Super Bowl with someone else. I hate the 49ers, man.
Okay.
With someone. It's funny, because I love Joe Montana. I hate the 49ers. I love Kyle Shanahan. I hate the 49ers. I think he is the guy. He's the puppet master, man. I mean, he makes it work. The ultimate, you know, chess matches against him. And I didn't know this about Sharp. I didn't know about that. Mm-hmm. I did hear somebody on ESPN was beating John Lynch up. Somebody that I respect. Can't remember. But they were beating him up as well before I even found this. So,
there's been a lot of talk about that. I think Adam Schefter, he may have had a couple of...
That's who it was.
He had reports on the way that they were drafting.
That's who it was. It was Adam Schefter. So you do you agree with the assessments?
I mean, the numbers say what they are. I just don't know where you're getting, like, the list that you're using. Is it the list that you created, and according to you, he's ranked 32nd?
Right.
Or is this something else? I think Warren Sharp's brilliant, so I don't question that aspect of it. But yeah, I've said this before. A lot of people go, yeah, let's just get a former player and put him in the front office. It'll be great. Does John Elway know what he's doing in Denver?
No.
I mean, he lucked into Peyton Manning, and then now we see what Bo Nix can become. But they were a Bo Nix injury away from maybe being in the Super Bowl in one of the weirdest NFL years I've seen. So I think, too, like, then you look at this situation where you go, oh, yeah, John Lynch is a Hall of Fame player. Can he evaluate talent?
Yeah.
I don't care what he did when he played.
Everybody can't be Ozzie Newsome, Hall of Fame player, and should be a Hall of Fame GM. This is the thing, though. I mean, I don't. We can argue draft boards, Jeremy. We can argue that. We can say, you know, my draft board and your draft board don't have to be the same, because it's based on how I see kids and what I need. So team-to-team draft boards may change. The one thing we can't argue, Jeremy, are draft grades,
mm-hmm.
meaning pre-draft grades, like where you grade. You grade out as what?
Yeah.
That we cannot argue. So when you start arguing what a person picked or what a team picked, you want to grade that? To me, that's all relative. I may think it's more valuable than you because of how I like the players. But a player's grade is a player's grade. So when Sharp tells me they're reaching based on a pre-draft grade of an individual player, I got to believe that. Because that's not based on your board. That's based on the grade that these players are given across the board.
Yeah, but who's giving them the grade? Because teams, that's why we talk about the Ravens board looking different, because clearly they grade these guys differently.
No. What I mean, like, if you drafted a guy in the third round who didn't get invited to the combine. What was that player's grade? He didn't even get invited to the combine. That's a reach. That is across the board a reach. You know what I mean? If a player, there's not, based on pre-draft grades, you don't have one player who's an A on one grade and somebody else has him as a C. It's not much discrepancy.
You could.
No, teams. I'm not talking about teams. I'm talking about their pre-draft grade.
But who's putting the grade out?
The NFL. You can go on a combine and see their grade.
But I'm saying their grade does not have to be the same grade that a team gives them. Like, you could sit here and go, I'm sure there were teams. Fernando Mendoza is the number one player in this draft. And take away quarterback. But, you know, there are teams that are going to go, well, I like this guy better than him.
Again, no. See, that's what I mean by board and grade. I can't argue the board.
But you build your board off of your own grades.
And I think sometimes you build your board off your own needs, too. Teams, if the Ravens didn't want Fernando Mendoza, they can't say, well, we didn't want him because he's a C. No, he's an A. You just didn't want him because you weren't in the need for a quarterback.
Okay.
You can't change the grade. You know what I mean? He's an A, but that doesn't matter to us because we're not in need of a quarterback, so we're not reaching for him. That's what I mean. That grade can't be debated. Where he ranks on your board can be debated, but that grade is what that grade is. So if you're saying, Warren Sharp is saying, the reason why he's so bad is because he's reaching for a player who's a D, in an area that you should get a player that's a B. That D can't be debated. That's what that kid graded out across the board. So I think that's why he said, that's why I take more in line with what Warren Sharp is saying than I do what somebody says when they're grading a team's draft.
This isn't the first time I've heard this about John Lynch either. You know, like, I feel like we're going to start to see more and more of this as the front office gets evaluated and teams are going to have to realize, do we have a special GM? Do we have a special coach? Are we lucky enough to have both?
I think it's San Francisco based on everything that we've seen.
You've got
recently,
a special coach.
You've got a, if coaches can be genius, he's a genius. If coaches can, I hate the 49ers. You know that. Every time I get to the playoffs, I'm pulling against them. But Kyle Shanahan is special.
Yeah.
And if you're telling me that Kyle Shanahan is winning with these draft picks, Kyle Shanahan has won with Mr. Irrelevant as his quarterback.
Yep. I mean, think about that. That's insane in and of itself.
Mr. Irrelevant. Everybody didn't get that wrong. Here's a kid that was one pick away from not being drafted, and he just got paid.
Yeah, he was pretty close to being an undrafted free agent. Did you like that one? Joe, did you like that or no? No. This is a no. Okay. Sorry. Pretty close.
We do the hockey with Ed Norris at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Colton Cowser has been graded the worst batter in baseball since midway point last season. Do you think that's who he is, or is he capable of a bounce back, Jeremy? We ask on the other side, right? Next on The Fan.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
Hey, we got more draft stuff coming your way. Nick Baumgartner of The Athletic, get his thoughts on what the Ravens did and everyone else in the division. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, will talk about what's happening out at the Castle. We'll preview the Orioles and the Houston Astros. Birds trying to get back at it after a rough one against Boston and everything else happening on your Sports Tuesday.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Turns out the weird Sean McVay press conference after drafting Ty Simpson was all an act. Simpson said he met with McVay in person, but it was a secret. Now, I love a good secret, but why do the weird presser? Is McVay trying to build some reel to go chase a literal Hollywood dream after coaching? Maybe they were just bored and they wanted to play a trick on media and fans. In that case, they won. Not really sure what the prize is, but congratulations nonetheless. I'm Dan Day.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. 95 southbound in the city. Super slow. Already backed up to the 895 split through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. Southbound 895, you're on the brakes. Pulaski Highway through the Harbor Tunnel. The Beltway Inner Loop, no problems. The Outer Loop, slow at Hartford Road. And then again at Old Court Road on the west side. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
Update from the Yard is sponsored by Farnan and Dermer. Beat the summer heat. Call the comfort guys at Farnan and Dermer for their $89 precision tune-up to make sure your system is in tip-top shape. Call 410-367-7777.
In the air to right field. That ball is headed for the flat court.
On 105.7, The Fan.
I wouldn't say anything like that. I mean, you know, he's frustrated. We know the talent level's there. He's frustrated. You know, right now, he's helping us, and we need him on the team. So I think we're too early to judge individual performances in a positive or negative direction too severely at this point in the calendar.
Well, that's Mike Elias. And yes, too early to judge on this year. He is spot on. Colton Cowser this year batting 200 with no home runs. Mm. He hasn't had a home run yet. 3 RBI. His OPS is 511. I thought he hit a home run. He does not. Here's the problem, though.
Yeah, I felt like he had one, too.
I thought he had one. He does not.
All right.
Yeah, he does not.
If you'd asked me that, I would have said, yeah, he's got one.
I had
one.
Two. I'd have said he had two. One or two.
No.
But that's Michael Elias is right. If we're judging on this year, you can't judge. But the problem is the Baltimore Sun revealed yesterday, Jeremy, that since July 19th last year, Orioles outfielder Colton Cowser has been the worst hitter in MLB among players with at least 250 plate appearances. So we're not talking about just this year. We're talking about an entire body of work that's about 2 months shy of a full season.
Do you think for Cowser, there, like, again, some people say, send him down, send him down. Is that the best thing for him? to go down, go to AAA and see what if you don't, if he's not hitting there, is there something better for him to do here and be with the team? Because I know Mike Elias was asked about this, and I don't think they're sending him down anytime soon, but if this keeps up, they have to.
Okay, this is my problem. What's better for the team?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, what is he adding of value? I mean, is it, unless it's just he's so good in the clubhouse that it's like, hey, we don't, and I don't think that's a thing, by the way, but, you know, I think Tavares is better in center field right now, and I'm going to ride that till the wheels fell off. And for people that aren't watching, like, again, everybody was high on Jeremiah Jackson over the past week and a half, 2 weeks. He's reverted back to not looking as great as he once did.
The clubhouse thing. Let me say this first. Colton Gauss is not a clubhouse issue. By any stretch of the imagination, he's a clubhouse issue. However, does his clubhouse presence justify allowing him to continue to struggle? No. No. What's best for the team is a productive Colton Gauss. I'm not saying Colton Gauss being in the minors is best. What's best for the team. No, I'm saying what's best for the team is him being productive. So the only way you can make him productive may be to send him down and allow him. It's tough to work on things when winning is the most important thing. And I'm not saying minor leaguers aren't trying to win, because I know they are. But development is the most important thing in the minors. You don't develop in the majors.
Isn't it so weird that, I mean, so he came out when they drafted him, had the lowest, I believe the lowest strikeout percentage of any hitter in the draft. And then comes up here and it's the exact opposite, where he's striking out a ton, and then the story came out about him not being able to hit changeups. I don't know why I find that so odd, because it's just a different level of speed and not movement on the baseball per se. You know, like if you told me a guy struggled with a slider, a curveball, whatever it was, it's like, okay, I understand that, trying to pick it up. But isn't it just velocity that you're trying to pick, like, out of the hand?
No. So, I mean, if I'm looking fastball, here's the thing. If I go up looking changeup, now you've already beat me.
Yeah, because the fastball's going to get by you.
So I got to look fastball and react. So it's really about your hands. When you hear announcers talk about the quick hands, it's being able to get food, but keep your hands back and still explode. Maybe that's what he's struggling with. Because you'll see hitters, I think Adley got fooled over the weekend, and he was way out in front of it, but he kept his hands back because he had confidence in it. And at the last second, bam, he exploded.
Yeah, again, like I'm not saying that it's not it can clearly be an out pitch, and I think it is in a lot of situations, but to struggle with that for so long, like I don't know, I feel like.
You think it's physical or mental?
I think it's mental.
So what's the best way to work on the mental? Go down and work where you go down on a level where it's about development. The best, this team is so much better with a productive Colton Gauss. If you don't believe me, look at what he did back in 2024.
Yeah.
They were a better team.
That's why I love when people say they should have traded Gauss or Kerstead for Trevor Rogers and not Kyle Stowers, and remembering back what was going on at that exact time that this guy was going to win the Rookie of the Year.
When Kowser and Jordan Westberg were productive, the team was better. Joining us right now from Sarasota, Florida, is Ed Norris. Good morning to you, Ed.
What's happening, man?
What's happening, buddy? Look, Colton Gauss rated the worst player, or not rated, has been the worst hitter in MLB since last July 19th. Let me give you his monthly numbers from last year, Ed. In July, he had 81 at-bats. He batted .210 with a .281 on-base percentage, .590 OPS. He struck out 27 times in 81 at-bats. August, he had 79 at-bats. He struck out 36 out of 79 at-bats, batted .190, .238 on-base percentage, .593 OPS. And then the final month of the season, he had 71 at-bats. He struck out 34 out of 71 times. He batted .141 with a .256 on-base percentage and .594 OPS. I think Colton Gauss, a productive Colton Gauss, makes the Orioles better. I think the best way for him to work on being productive again is in Norfolk.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's not going to get it here. Being the worst hitter in baseball is not a crown you want to wear. And it's not helping the team. And the team is struggling. So, I mean, what do you do with him? Yeah. I think the only thing to do with him is send him down, let him get his reps and get his confidence back.
And again, when Jeremy said about the clubhouse, I want to make it crystal clear. Colton Gauss is not a problem in the clubhouse. He's a good clubhouse guy. But at the same time, he would be an even better clubhouse guy if he were producing. And I don't think it's over for him. I just think right now, you know, everybody talks about he can't hit the off-speed pitch. So when everyone's talking about it and you're not doing it, it gets in your head. And I think it's not gonna get out of your head on this level. You got to go down to a level where it's all about development. Major League Baseball is not about development. It's about producing.
No, you have to be pretty developed when you get here.
What you got to say, Jeremy? You got something to say.
I was just singing the Cranberry song. In my head. Change ups in my head. Yeah, that's what I was singing in my head. Stupid ass stuff.
You know what place I don't want to be? In your head. Cordell Woodland joins us at 7:15, but on the other side, Ed, we do the hockey.
Yeah, playoffs are taking shape. So a couple of favorites have swept. No big surprise there. And one team that's underdog is looking pretty damn good right now.
We do the hockey up next with Ed Norris on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan.
Folks, when's the last time you've been to the dentist? Yeah, that's what I thought. Some people are really good. They go every year, every 6 months, get their cleanings, keep everything healthy. Some people just avoid the dentist for years. Most times because of fear. Most Americans just, the excuse or reason they give is they're just fearful of the dentist. They don't like it. They don't go. They don't call. Can't do that. You got to go. And that's why I recommend the Smile Design Center with Dr. Lairfield. First of all, he's just a nice man who does great work. Do really good high-end cosmetic work. But most of all, he's just a nice person. And the atmosphere is like more like a spa than a dental office. And if you've got dental anxiety, he has sedation options. So it'll be stress-free and really comfortable. That'll put all that fear to the side and you can get your work done. Because it's really important, not just for your oral health. I mean, of course, it's important to keep your teeth where they should be so you can smile in photographs and keep yourself confident. But it affects your whole body, your heart, everything. So please go. Give them a call. The number is 410-321-1100. Make an appointment today for the free consultation, and please tell them I sent you down there.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!